Welcome to Sunday with the Skies. We're glad you could join us today. And I pray that God's blessing has been upon you. I believe we missed last week, didn't we? No, last week, but the week before, I'm sorry. We were just so busy. We were playing concerts all over the place and just couldn't get to the message. So fortunately, we're here today and we're glad you're here too. Now we're going to turn over to the book of Numbers this morning. So if you want to start flipping through while I greet you and chide you for not coming up this summer, for those who didn't make it. For those who did, we're glad you did. For those who didn't, where the heck were you? No, but we also are this year, we're really going to open our doors all year. God really put it on my heart a few weeks ago that we need to have a place that people can come to be refreshed in the Lord whenever the need is there upon them. So we're setting aside some rooms in the Sky Family Lodge. Even though we'll be having the Bible school going on, it doesn't matter. We've opened some rooms so that those who can come for a weekend or come for a week or a few days can come here just to be refreshed in the Lord, join in with our Bible studies that we have with the school, join with our morning devotions, our evening reading times. It's such a time of spiritual refreshment that I actually encourage you to, if possible, to come up and spend a few days or spend a week just to be refreshed in the Spirit of the Lord and with the fellowship that is around you. So our place is yours. It's open. It's God's house. And you're very welcome in it. So we're going to, we have a very, very, very potent message today. So let's ask God's blessing on it. Lord God, we pray you bless your word to us. We pray that you would speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you can speak through a dumb animal and you can speak through humans, Lord God. And so we pray that you would speak today, that it would be your words and not mine, because my words will not avail at all, but your words will bring forth life. And so I pray that you would speak to each of our hearts today in our own language, just as you did at Pentecost, that your spirit would speak to us in our own language, and that we would all be greatly, greatly strengthened today. I pray you bless everyone who is here and everyone who is watching from a long distance. We pray for those all over the world who are joining us, and we ask that your body would be strengthened and raised up today. We really thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We're going to start back in an obscure passage in the book of Numbers in the Old Testament that has great, great relevance to you and to me and to every one of us. Starting in verse chapter 21, verse 4. Okay, the Israelites are now out in the desert. They've been delivered from the hands of the Egyptians, and they're out in the wilderness and being led into the promised land. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient because of the journey. Okay, now first off, let's understand God had just given them tremendous victory. He had also delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians. He had done great signs and wonders. And now they're basically just starting their journey. And it says that they became impatient. And the people spoke against God and Moses, saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this miserable food." And they were speaking, of course, about manna that God was sending down from heaven. The Lord's response to this complaining is, it says, "The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many people of Israel died." So the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord. And now intercede with the Lord that he may remove the serpents from us." And Moses interceded for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent, set it on a standard, and it shall come about that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he shall live." And Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a standard, and it came about that if a serpent bit any man, when he looked upon the bronze serpent, he lived. Okay? So the people had sinned, and this great plague had broken out among them in the camp, and Moses interceded for them when they cried out and made this image of a serpent in bronze and put it on a pole. And if anyone who was bitten would make their way through the crowds, through the crush, to come to that standard and even just to look upon it, that they were made well and that the effects of the poison were canceled out, so that they survived those deadly poisonous snake bites. Yes, Serena?
They actually, they're poison, but they make the people that they can't feel, but they can't feel whatever they're doing, so if they touch a hot stove, the fingers will die and they won't feel it, and then they can go to the hospital and their fingers will get cut off.
You know, that is very perceptive. You must be a homeschooler, are you? What this young lady who, could you just come up here and just stand up here on this, because I just want everybody to see you. You just stand right up there for a second. There we go. This is Serena. She was a Newfie dancer with us this week. She's from Alberta, and she's just shared with us that. Oh, it's Saskatchewan. I'm sorry. All those provinces look the same to us. And she was just explaining how when you get a poison snake bite, it makes you numb so that you can't feel anything. And so you can even do dangerous things and you don't realize that it's actually killing you. So thank you very much for not only for your dancing the other night, but for sharing that good word with us.
Thank you for putting me up.
Now, the reason, of course, this is so significant to us all is we flip over to the Gospel of John. Okay, now, everybody, everyone, everywhere in the whole world knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you, whoever believes in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. But there's almost no one, if you say John 3:15, there's almost nobody who will be able to recite that one. There's almost nobody who knows John 3:15, but that's the one we're going to focus on today. John 3:14 and 3:15. And now we see what the significance of this is. Starting at verse 13, "No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life." So now Jesus is giving us this amazing illustration. He's equating himself to the bronze serpent that was raised up on the pole. And as many as looked upon that serpent would be healed of their deadly diseases. And now Jesus is saying that he has become that serpent on the standard, that through him, those who have contracted deadly diseases can be healed. And so we see in John 3:15 that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. So now, believing is the New Testament equivalent to gazing upon the bronze serpent in the book of Numbers. Now Jesus is saying that looking upon the serpent has been transferred to believing in Christ, and that is our healing. Now, the question is, what is this believing that Jesus says will heal our soul? What does that believing look like? Because we know it's not just believing in Jesus. We know it isn't just believing in Jesus, because practically everyone everywhere believes in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus, but he by no means has eternal life. And many believe in Jesus historically. Tons and tons and millions of people throughout history have believed in a historical Jesus, but they have never entered into life as a result. And practically every religion has a place for Jesus. Practically everyone. You can go to the Muslims and they consider him a great prophet, but they live in such utter darkness. They have not seen the light of God. They have believed in him in a way, but it has not resulted in eternal life. And so with the Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and all the religions and the Hindus and everyone around has a place for Jesus. They can't deny him because he did live. And so they make room for him, but they are not benefited by it. So what is the distinction that makes believing become eternal life? What's the distinction? What kind of believing is he talking about that changes us from believing about Jesus to believing unto salvation? What is the difference between these two types of believing? Well, we see very clearly in this wonderful illustration that Jesus gave us what the distinction is. The first is that there is a prerequisite to believing that absolutely must precede the saving grace of believing the Lord unto life. And what is that prerequisite? Well, we go back to Numbers and we see what it is. We see that the people had sinned against God, and serpents had come in among them, and they were afflicted. They were afflicted, and they entered into such affliction and pain that finally they cried out, and it says that they repented. It says, we have sinned because we have spoken against the Lord. Now intercede that he may remove these serpents. So you see, they got to a point of desperation because of the affliction. The result of their sins had driven them to repent and then to cry out to God. So this is the prerequisite. So now we today, we are a society that is most afflicted. We're not a society that's blessed. And you can talk, you can watch any TV preacher you want talking about how blessed we are, but we are not a society that is blessed. We are a society that has flaunted the laws of God. We are a society that has indulged in unbridled passions of the flesh without limit, without end. We have indulged in every perversity and every sin, and we pursue it with all of our might. We ignore God. We break his laws. We neglect the Sabbath. We neglect our families. We have thoughts that are perverse. As a whole, we are absolutely filthy before God. And the result of our sinning against God is that he has let loose fiery serpents among us that are afflicting us so that we are a miserable people. He has let the devil loose upon us unrestricted. He has let the devil come in among us to bite us and to harm us and to afflict us and to cause us great suffering. In every place you go, everywhere you go, we see people who are greatly afflicted, suffering. There's not one person who's enjoying their life today. There's none. There's nobody who is enjoying life. There are those who are pretending to enjoy life or look like they're enjoying life, but there's nobody who's actually enjoying life, because the person who's got all the toys, they've got the skidoos and their sea-doos and their cottage out the lake, and they've got their SUV, and they've got their high-income job. Their son is in jail for drug abuse. Or their wife has cancer. Or they have cancer. There's no one. There's only people who look like they have, like they're enjoying life. But they're not, because everyone has got something, some affliction that God has allowed, because the sin has been just gone rampant in our society. And so the devil does what he does, what he loves to do the most, which is hurt people. And the Lord has allowed him to hurt people because we have neglected God altogether. And so now we are a people who have been bitten by the serpent, and we are dying. We have contracted deadly diseases. Our spirits are dying, and a lot of them are dead already. And we call them the walking dead. People who have drunk the cup of death. People who have walked in the way of the devil. People who have walked in unbridled passion, and they are already in hell. And most of our high school students are there already. They have no life. They have no hope. They have contracted deadly diseases, and they will surely die. So now, for us to believe that we might have eternal life, the prerequisite is that we must have enough sense about us to understand that we're dying. Just like our little Serena said, we get bit by this snake and the poison numbs us like a spider bite, so we don't even know that we're dying. And that's why so few call out to the Lord. But for those who have a shred of their wits left about them and realize that they're dying, we call out to God and we say, we've sinned. Have mercy on us and forgive us. We have sinned. Now, when that prerequisite has been made, as we spoke about last week, when that prerequisite has been accomplished, suddenly those who have been afflicted without limit, afflicted and stung and bitten and filled with poison, now those become vessels of mercy. They become the object of God's love and compassion. Now they become transformed through those two words which we speak about at all of our concerts, which Joel shares about every concert, that the difference between life and death is just two words. I'm sorry. Those are the two words that are the prerequisite for saving belief. And so as we are afflicted in all different ways, we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry for whatever I've done breaking your laws. Show me what I've done. If we don't know, most of us do know. If we just say, I'm sorry, now we have met the condition that is necessary to look upon the Lord to be saved. Now, what is this believing in Jesus that heals us of all of our diseases? What is this believing? In Numbers, it says they looked upon the serpent and they lived. And now we are told that Jesus would be lifted up, that we might believe. What is this believing now? It is this. This is the core of the gospel. This is the part of Christianity that no other religion has. We must believe that this one who has been lifted up has taken the full brunt of the penalty that should have come to us. He has taken the full penalty. The price was paid by him that should be ours. And so we were condemned to death. And instead, he took our place. He said, Father, I will go. I'll take their place if you will forgive them. And the Father said, go. So now we believe and we understand that Jesus took our place. We see that he was made into the image of our own sins. Just as it says, he was made into the image of the serpent. That's why the serpent imagery there, Jesus was made to look like it was the sum of all that was evil, all that was sinful. And then he died as a substitute for us, as a substitute. He took our place. Now, when we understand and believe that Jesus actually took our place, and we believe he took our place, now we have entered into life. We have entered into life. And there's no other religion or any other form of religion that understands or acknowledges that Jesus was our substitute. That's why it's not just about Jesus teaching us good things. Jesus didn't just teach us good things that we should follow after. He just didn't outline, you know, some great laws and great concepts and some great proverbs that we might walk in them. No, there's no amount of those good kind of proverbs that are going to save our lives, because we can't be good. This is our problem. We can't be good. And so all the Chinese proverbs since the dawn of time have done them no good whatsoever. And all the great teachings of the religious leaders of the world, they have availed nothing. They have not changed human nature in the tiniest bit. They can't. They're powerless because we have been bitten by a deadly disease and we are dying. But when Jesus came and was our substitute, he paid in full the penalty for our sins. And now as we look upon him, having come to him with repentance and saying, Jesus, thank you for taking my place and for giving me eternal life. Now we become alive. A miracle takes place in our lives and we become alive. We pass from death into life. We go from hell into heaven. We become new creatures in Christ, because we have looked upon the Son of Man. Oh, and there were some dear people I was so hoping would be here this morning to understand that not only does Jesus forgive our sins and accept us and bring us into eternal life, but when we look upon the Son of Man, we are healed of our diseases as well. We are healed of our sinfulness. As we look upon the Lord and we believe in his name, we are delivered from our sins. We are delivered from the snares and walking in sin. We are actually transformed. We are actually made into new creatures. And we are able to start overcoming. As we read in Psalm 103, well, I can't ever find it in this Bible. Forget none of the benefits of the Lord who heals all of our diseases, who pardons all of our iniquities, who redeems our life from the pit, who crowns us with loving kindness and compassion, and fills our years with good things. He has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. This is victory, to look upon the Lord as he is lifted up, and in him we have eternal life, forgiveness of our sins, and cleansing from all unrighteousness. This is our victory. It is the person of Jesus who was our substitute. And now the Holy Spirit is poured out to those who believe in faith, who have taken the prerequisite. They have done things according to God's way, which is to say, I'm sorry, I repent, I turn to you. I believe you took my place, and I believe you have forgiven my sins, and that you will make me into a new creature. This is a person who is, in fact, a child of the living God. This is a person who will live forever. This is a person who will be elevated, who will go from the lowest place to the place of greatest honor of being called a son and a daughter of the living God. And he is prepared an eternity of such delights that has not entered in the eye or the ear or seen the things that God has prepared for those who believe in him. And so there's a lot more to this, and I think I'm going to just continue it next week because I don't want to rush over it. So I just want to encourage you in the stubborn areas, addressing those who are believers right now. I want to encourage you in those stubborn areas of sin in our lives that just seem to have such a grip on us. Now ours is to believe, to look upon the Lord and to believe. I love something that Charles Finney said in his autobiography. He said he would devote whole days to prayer and fasting. And when he would look introspectively in his life, and when he'd spend the day searching his heart and looking at his shortcomings and his failures and examining where he was falling short, he said that his days would be very unprofitable. But when he spent that same day looking at the Lord and thinking of the grace of God and dwelling in the joy of God and the presence of God and thinking about the power of God to deliver him, he would have tremendous victory, because his eyes were off of him and his failings, and they were on the Lord who has forgiven us and cleansed us from all unrighteousness. And so I want to encourage each one who is listening to get your eyes off yourself and to look at the one who's been raised up. And in him, in spite of our failings and our faults, in spite of that, as we lift our gaze to him, we will be delivered, we will be healed, we will be made into new creatures in Christ. God will not fail us. So let's just pray. Lord God, we come before you and we lift our eyes to you. And we confess all of our sins to you. And we cry out to you and ask your forgiveness. And we lift our eyes to you, O Lord God. And pray that you would forgive us and that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as we lift our eyes to you, Lord, we just praise you that you are able to make us new creatures. We praise you for this day, Lord. May we go forth in newness of life, always with our eyes lifted up upon you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for joining us. Again, I want to just invite you to come and just spend some time if you can. Doesn't matter where you live. You should fly here if you have to. Just come and visit us. We're delighted to have you come and stay. And we have our dear friends, the Lucans, here now that will be here all the time, even when we're on tour. So they're great company and great fellowship. So even if we're on tour, you can still come here, and the presence of God is just still here. And we want to thank our special guest, Serena, for her input and, of course, for her dancing this last week.